You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Well, good morning. Welcome to worship. It is good to have you with us as you're listening or watching. Let's just open with a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our service together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We pray that you'd guide us, Lord, as we continue to dig into your scriptures as we understand just this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit and all that it means to us. God, we pray that you'd bless our time and be with those, God, who are meeting in their homes. Encourage them, Lord, as they worship together as family. Just guide us today. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin by singing our first song, Love Lifted Me. Please sing along.
Not moving. I have it on.
Just about ready.
I don't know why, Lisa, but it's not.
Just about, hang on. Love lifted me. Here we go.
Ready?
All set.
Mas
Thank you. This is going to be our time. We're going to have Janelle play a little bit for special music. And we're going to take an offering. So for all of you out there, if you are part of a different church, we just encourage you to support your church and get your offerings in, and that you'd continue to be a blessing in that way. Let's begin with prayer, and then we'll have Janelle play. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for today, and we pray that you'd bless this offering, Lord, as we give. God, help us and lead us. God, encourage us, we pray. And we pray that you'd guide us, help us to be faithful. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Our scripture for today is from John 14:26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and the prayer requests that have been brought to us, Lord, we lift before you. Pray for Matt Wilson. God, we just pray that you would give him wisdom and strength. We pray that whatever the situation is, Lord God, that you would just reveal yourself and your truth and just guide him through it and just help any doors that have been closed to just be opened and just help him to be able to get through this time. We pray also for Ross Wills, Lord God, we just pray for your peace. We pray for deliverance from any pain, and we just pray, God, that you will just surround him with those who can be near him, with his family, and we pray, Lord God, that you would just continue to comfort and guide him. We pray for Lorraine Dunn, Lord, and the many nursing home people who are suffering with the coronavirus. God, we just pray for strength in their lungs and respiratory systems, and we just pray that you will give them a return to health. And Lord, if that is not your will, God, we just pray that you would just make them aware of your presence always, Lord, and just help them to realize that you are with them at all times. We pray for the many senior classes all over the world, Lord God, that aren't able to join together. And we pray, God, that you would just help to make ways, Lord Jesus, that they can still celebrate and realize, Lord Jesus, that this is a big accomplishment. And we just pray for the superintendents of schools and education departments, Lord, that you'd bless them, that you would continue to guide us at this time as we continue to pursue education in many states and parts of the world. Lord, we just come before you as people who have lost loved ones or who are in isolation, many who have lost jobs or those who are just sheltered at home, and that is a big adjustment. We pray, God, that you would extend your loving hand to each of us and help us in mourning and grieving loved ones and in adjusting to this new normal. We pray that you would help to make every day count. Help us make every day count. We pray that you'll extend your powerful hand and turn back this coronavirus and heal our land physically, mentally, and spiritually. We pray that you would awaken our hearts and minds to you. Lord, we pray that you would build, renew, and awaken our hearts through a deeper relationship with you. Help us to keep an eternal perspective. And through this time, we're praying for a spiritual awakening in America and all over the world. We pray for our president, senators, representatives, medical staff, and leaders, and those in education. We just pray, God, for the safety of those who are on the front of all of this, the forefront, and we pray for their protection. We pray for those who are researching and trying to find ways to cure this disease, Lord. We just pray that you would guide them and just give them insight into what needs to happen. We pray for our business leaders and those that are heads of companies. We pray, God, that you would give them wisdom. Help them all to make good decisions. Lord, we just pray for our church bodies all over the world, God, that we would speak truth and light and that your word would be spread and that people would know that you are the God of comfort and that you are the God of peace. And we pray that you would just lead us and guide us this day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Julie. For the praise team, we're going to begin by singing our first song, our next song, Once Again. Please sing along.
Wondered at your gift of life. I'm in that place.
this day. End with singing what we believe.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt. Father God, we just believe everything that you say, Lord. Your word is truth. Lord, we just thank you for the Bible that you've given us, Lord, so that we can read and pray to understand what your plan is, Lord, as a creator, and how much you love each one of us. Lord, we just continue to pray that you'll be with all those that are affected by the coronavirus, Lord, and just pray that you'll encourage them, lift them up, draw them close to you, Lord. Lord, we just also pray that you'll just be with Galen's message today. Just bless the words, Lord, that he's giving, and just open up our hearts and minds. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do in our lives. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and for how he teaches us, how he counsels us and comforts us and guides us, protects us, and encourages us, Lord. We praise you now, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I believe it was back in 1969, when I was in fifth grade, and I had this teacher whose name was Nora Nicholson. She was an amazing teacher, for those of you that know Nora. And she was a lot of fun, but she was a lot older than us fifth graders. So I just assumed that Mrs. Nicholson was around when they signed the Declaration of Independence. 1776, I figured that she was there. And I tell you that because I'm going to confess a sin to you right now this morning. For all of you that are listening, because as I sat with Nora in class one day, Nora was getting after us kids for not memorizing the 50 states as quick as she thought. And she said, why, when I was a kid, I had all the states memorized in 1 week. And what happened next was like an out-of-body experience for this fifth grader. I don't know what came over me. I could blame it on the Holy Spirit. Because the next thing I knew, my hand was raised and Nora was calling on me. My hand went up and I said, but Mrs. Nicholson, it was much easier when you were a kid because there were only 13 to remember. When the words came out of my mouth, I wanted so badly to hit rewind. But what amazed me was Mrs. Nicholson's response to my smart aleck comment. For she just looked at me, she smiled, and she said, good one, Galen. Now, maybe she was impressed that I even knew that there were 13 states at one time. But needless to say, that my face was the shade of my red hair at the time. And to this day, I don't know what made me say it. But I think Mrs. Nicholson knew that by my reaction, I had already learned my lesson. And that was that. She was a very wise teacher. She was kind and, might I add, forgiving, but especially passionate about teaching kids, and being a teacher was her calling. And then there was my favorite teacher in sixth grade, Mr. Hillman. And I remember very vividly, I was in fifth grade, and Mr. Hillman saw me in the hall one day, and he said, Galen, how would you like to play with the sixth grade basketball team? And I wasn't playing at the time. And just his comment to me, I felt like I was being called up out of the minors to play major league basketball. And I didn't know if it was going to be possible, so I said, I'll go home and ask my mom, because I wasn't playing at the time. So I went home and checked with my mom, and she said, yeah, we can do that. But she said, you can't play basketball, but with this one game, it'll work. So I was so excited. I went to school the next day, and I told Mr. Hillman that I could play, and I felt like I just needed to sign a contract because now they're going to pay me big money. And I remember going to Humboldt. That was our game. We went to Humboldt, and I stole the ball early in the game, and I was headed down the court. No one could catch me because I was ridiculously fast for a kid that had really short legs. And I remember getting to the end and shooting the layup, and the layup hit the ceiling, and it went out of bounds, and my heart fell. And I looked over at Mr. Hillman, fully expecting disappointment, and all he did was go like this. And he smiled, and it was no big deal. It's crazy how you can be my age and remember those things so vividly, but that's what an impact a teacher can have on your life. And what impacted me so much about Mr. Hillman and Mrs. Nicholson is that they were real. They were genuine. They genuinely loved kids, and they loved to teach, and they wanted to make a difference in our lives. Now, I was blessed to have so many good teachers in my life. I had amazing Sunday school teachers and vacation Bible school teachers and good college and seminary professors. I was blessed with a lot. And the one thing that was in common, like I said, for Mrs. Nicholson and for Mr. Hillman, is that they were real. And they were genuine in how they taught me, in how they cared, how they loved us as kids, and even how they protected us so that they would teach us the truth of the knowledge that we would have so that we'd be prepared to go on to that next level of education. And I think it's safe to say that every one of us who are either here or listening at home have had a teacher at one point in their life make a major impact. I was blessed with a lot, but today I want to talk about a teacher that is more amazing than anyone we could ever hope for. This teacher is called the Holy Spirit. So far in this series, we've talked about the Holy Spirit being our counselor, our comforter, our peace, our source of peace, and that he knows everything about us. And so today I want to concentrate on the Holy Spirit and how he plays this amazing teacher role in our lives. He's like this superhero teacher with superpowers that are endless, never ending. He's like the teacher of all teachers, instructing in all truth, we are told. And above all else, he is God, the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 26, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he tells us how good God is. And this is before he ascended into heaven. He says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and will remind you of everything that I've said to you." Everything. Scripture tells us that he will teach us all things. You realize what an incredible gift that is. A teacher who teaches us all things and lives in us and is available 24/7. Jesus is, of course, here speaking of all things regarding the truth about who God is and who Jesus is. But there's more. And he leaves nothing out. He leaves no room for lies. He leaves no room for misleading knowledge about who Jesus is or who we are. Now, it's easy to go through life, and sometimes we get confused as to where we fit in or who we are. But the Holy Spirit makes that clear to us. And if you want to know something about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the super teacher, I call him, provides something that is very special, and that is the Holy Scriptures. It's like our textbook of how to live. It's often called a love letter to us. And the Holy Spirit knows everything. He knows more than Google, Siri, and Alexa all together. Now, every morning, Julie and I laugh because we wake up and Alexa always tells us there's a flood warning in Lancaster. I think, seriously, do you have any idea how much water there would be in Humboldt if there was a flood in Lancaster? We are told about the Holy Spirit and how it provides counsel to Christ followers and reminds us of everything that Jesus said. Not one word left out. Not one thing forgotten. He never forgets one simple thing. And as I thought about that, I thought of in my life how I struggle sometimes with memory, like when Julie tells me to go to the grocery store and tells me to get something. I think, okay, I can do that. I'm good with that, but before I leave, she says, and could you pick this up too? And I say, okay, that's one more thing. That's two things. I can do two things. I can do two. But then before I get out the door, if she says one more thing, that's three things. And if that third thing is added, I've got to go write it down. Or I've got to enter it in my notes on my phone, or I'm for sure going to forget one of the first two. So I thought of how incredible, how does the Holy Spirit do that? How does he remember all things? And he never forgets to remind us of all that Jesus said, all that he did, and all that he will ever do. That's a superpower that is beyond our wildest imagination. He is a teacher above all teachers. He is God, the Holy Spirit. And we can always trust him because he is known as the Spirit of truth. Now, before Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus told his disciples that he was going to go away. And he said, I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send you an advocate to remind you of all that I've taught you. That same Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke of back then is available to you and I today. And if you are a believer in Christ, that Holy Spirit, that teacher, actually lives in you. Excuse me. And he will instruct you in perfect truth. It'll be complete. It'll be uncompromised and uninfluenced by the world. Paul says this to the Corinthians in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. Paul says, now when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul was not relying on anything of himself, definitely not on his speech or his wisdom, but his only thing was to preach Christ and the Christ crucified. Then he says, I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. Isn't it beyond amazing to you? It is to me. That God had provided such an incredible gift, that he left no gap when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live and to die for us, that when he ascended into heaven, he sent immediately the counselor, the Holy Spirit, our teacher. And he is our source, we are told, of revelation, and of wisdom and of power. And Paul goes on to say in verse 6, he says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, it's not of this world, or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. And in verse 7, he says, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But they didn't know. However, as it is written, no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit, Paul said. The Spirit that searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. God gives us so much. The Holy Spirit knows the very thoughts of God and reveals those thoughts to us, his believers. God gives us the Holy Spirit so that we may know him better. The Holy Spirit teaches us and he opens our eyes to the hope of salvation and this incredible inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that should excite you like crazy. As you and I are fragile, and we are broken, and we're living in a very fragile, broken world, That's become very clear to us lately. And one day this world is coming to an end. But it's not over for those of us who love God and who call Jesus Christ our Savior. If that doesn't excite you, then you're not listening. Either that or you're not breathing. This life is short. I've heard that over and over again. This life is short, but God has provided the way to live forever for those who love Him. And that is what the Holy Spirit teaches us today. But while we're here on this earth, God gives us this incredible revelation and power and wisdom that He speaks of. It's like the three huge deals in His instruction to us as our teacher. Revelation and power and wisdom. And we get to be a part of God's work in this world, and that is so incredible. In Acts 1:8, we are told that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, Jesus says, in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. We become ambassadors for Christ. What a gift that is to us. And we have access, we are told, to power and revelation and wisdom from the Holy Spirit, who knows the very thoughts, the very mind of God. And listen to what Paul says to the Ephesians regarding this. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. That's the reason. That's the purpose. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I love that phrase. In order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, excuse me, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, to which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church. That's us, which is His body. We are described as His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in and every way. Do you hear all the complete sentences? He teaches us all things, fills everything in every way. I love the passage where it says our hearts are enlightened. That is a gift. And we have been given so much, and so much is available to us with this revelation and this wisdom and this power. That's what the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, teaches us. But even with all of that, even with being born again, having this new heart, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, we struggle. We struggle living here, and we face trials. And life at times doesn't seem fair. It doesn't make sense. But even in our weaknesses, when we don't know what to do or how to pray, once again, our teacher, the Holy Spirit, even helps us with praying perfectly according to God's will. We read that as Paul writes in Romans. I can't hardly read that. In the same way, in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. It's like the teacher giving us the answers to the quiz. Question is, do you know how to live? Do you know how to struggle when life is not fair? How do you live through this life without being discouraged or giving up? It's that time that we can go to the Holy Spirit and say, Teacher, would you please pray for me? Now, I don't know if you've been in that place when you don't even know how to pray, but I have, and the people that I love have. And I have pleaded with God for an answer. I have wept and I have begged. And at even times gotten angry when life didn't make sense. When sickness comes and trials enter our lives or the lives of our loved ones, we wonder why. What good can possibly come from that? But time after time, the longer I live, I promise you that God is good and He is good all the time. And His ways are always the right ways, and His will is always the right will. And in our weakness, when you don't know what to pray or how to pray, you ask the Holy Spirit to pray for you. And then I believe then that's a perfect time to pray that beautiful, simple prayer that God taught us to pray, that Jesus said to pray. The first two words in our Lord's Prayer are so powerful to me. Because it's like He says, you're our brother, you're my brother, you're my sister. We're family. So let's begin by saying this prayer, Our Father, our dad in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. His name is holy. He is so holy that even His name is holy. And then He says, your kingdom come, Dad. Your will be done, because I know you know what's best for us on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day, Lord, just this day, what we need, our daily bread. Give us what sustains us for one day, Dad. And forgive us for our sins and help us to forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation. Keep us from it, Lord. Do you know how weak we are? Dad, you know the struggles that we have. So please deliver us from all evil. For yours is the kingdom, Dad, and yours is the glory. Yours is the power and the glory forever. I think of that, and I think of my own kids and how much I love when they talk to me and they open their heart up and I hear their heart, whether their things are going good or whether things are a struggle. I want them to come to me and say, Dad. I think our Father is the same way. Our Father in heaven desires to hear us address Him as our Father. Like saying, Dad, I'm here and I need your help. I need your strength to endure what I'm about to go through. Give me hope. Help me. Tell me how much you love me. Jesus says, you're family. So this is how you pray. Jesus, your brother, tells you how to pray. As we close our service for today, we're going to sing a song that spells it all out to us as to why we can have hope instead of being discouraged or disappointed. It tells us why we can have faith instead of fear. The words in this song tell us that we can have love instead of hate. And most of all, that we can have life instead of death. So please join us as we sing our final song for today, Because He Lives. And I would just ask that you would just stay with us and sing this out with all your heart as family, because that's what you are. And no matter what you're facing right now, and whether you are facing it and you don't know how you're going to make it through another day, know that He is our provider. He is a dad who loves you and is there for you, both today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Thank you. Lord, we just thank you for today, God. And we pray right now, God, that you would just do a work in our hearts. We pray, Father, if there are any out there, God, who do not know this, God, how much you have done for us and how you can live in us. I pray right now that you would just stir their hearts to come to you. We pray also, Lord, for those of us who know you, that you would encourage us today, that we would live for you, God, because you lived for us and have changed our hearts. Help us, God, to be your hands and feet in this world. Help us to be the church as you have called us to be. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.